Thanks for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition on this Saturday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. In the studio with me this morning is Scott Buehrlein, a horticulturist with the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden. Yes, it's more than just animals at the zoo. Lots of plants there and lots of classes involving plants and a lot of lessons that you can learn for your own little environment. Scott's here today to talk about the upcoming Sustainable Urban Landscapes Symposium. It's happening on Wednesday, February 27th. At the zoo. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Well, let's begin with sustainable urban landscape. Sustainable, I know, is a word that means many things to different people. We were talking before the interview. I said sustainable to me is, yeah, plant the plant and walk away, and boy, it sustains itself. But what is sustainable in this context?
In this context, I would say sustainable means mostly common sense. What you can get away with, you know, what you can plant in the ground and not have to constantly baby, you know, keep on life support, right. Whether it be water, fertilizers, chemical inputs, labor. You know, how do you put something out there in the urban environment, have it do the environmental tasks that you would like, and, you know, do it with the environment and with money and people in mind?
So you're looking specifically at urban landscapes here, and I can imagine, you know, I live in the country, got good soil, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Urban landscapes, not so good. So what are the challenges of urban landscapes?
That's an important point because it says urban, but it can also mean suburban. The challenges you face in the downtown, inner city regions are not much different than what you find in a new subdivision where they've scraped off all the topsoil and they've compacted the soil with equipment. So if you're facing those challenges, you're facing urban challenges. Yeah, largely it's soil, space, attitudes a lot of times with people, the way they view the landscape and plants, their knowledge of what plants need, and often their total lack of knowledge of what plants need to survive.
Well, I see, you know, working here in downtown, I see a lot of plantings, say, along Central Parkway where they put trees in the median.
Right.
And sometimes the trees in those little 4x4 square plots of soil in the sidewalks. And frequently I see them failing to thrive. How much of that is the urban environment being around exhausted, you know, et cetera? How much of it is just the function that it's not in a good place?
Mostly it's the fact that it's not in a good place. You know, when you're planting a tree in a tree box in a downtown situation, you're just limited with what that tree can be expected to do. The life expectancy of a street tree in those circumstances is about 15 years. They're trying to improve that, but the reality is you're planting a tree in a concrete box.
Right.
So, you know, but there's a lot of spaces in cities where you can grow things with a normal life expectancy. You know, vacant lots, parts of corporate campuses, universities, there's all kinds of space where you can go ahead and plant trees and other plants and expect good results if you do the right things. And largely that comes down to soil. You know, our inner city or city soils have been abused in every possible way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you can get in there and add organic matter, do something about the compaction, then you can expect to see good growth and good results.
So with the Sustainable Urban Landscape Symposium coming up on Wednesday, February 27th, you have a number of speakers coming in. Why don't you walk us through who the speakers are? Because I think that really does highlight some of the challenges and some of the solutions for what's happening.
Exactly. We have some great speakers coming in. And basically the program comes down to kind of a first half dealing with trees. And the reason for that is we kind of feel like, and I think a lot of people in this field, in the horticulture field, are coming to realize that in our area, there's almost nothing as sustainable as growing a tree.
Hmm.
You can do things, you can do your rain gardens and prairies, and they all have their places, and they all have their purposes, but for your biggest bang for the environmental buck, plant trees. So we're concentrating the first half of the program on that. We're having Jim Chatfield come down from Ohio State, and his program is called Why Trees Matter. And it goes into some of the environmental factors of what trees do for us, but also the social and the people reasons for trees, which are very important and enlightening. I'm doing a program following Jim on the history of trees, basically a historical perspective of how we've use trees in our forests on the continent and in our cities. The challenges we're facing now that compare somewhat to challenges we faced in the past, I think that will be a pretty good program. It's not done yet. I could fail miserably. But from the material I've gathered, I'm really excited about that one. Greg Page is coming from the Bartlett Research Arboretum, which is down in North Carolina. It's one of the best research arboretums or facilities in the country. He's coming up to talk about ways that, you know, okay, you've decided you want a tree in the environment, in the landscape, what you need to do to make it grow and thrive. Mark Henningman is an ISA researcher, International Society of Arboriculture certified arborist researcher, and he's talking about new techniques on how to get that compacted, abused soil worked into something that you can use. And that it may be the centerpiece of our day. I think that may be the most important talk of all of them.
Well, with those soils, you know, you talk about compaction. I know, you know, it's digging it up, breaking it up, tilling if you may.
Yeah.
Also, I know, you know, supplementing the soil with compost and the like. Are there other steps that he'll be bringing?
Yeah, I mean, there's questions with all of that. And the research has not been that great down the road. You would think it's as simple as adding compost. But then when you look at compost and you do tests on them, sometimes the pH on those is well above 8.
Wow.
Yeah. Now you're facing, you know, I've always thought that composts were the right thing to do. You know, my pH is high already. So what am I doing when I'm adding something that's 8.3? You know,
right.
He's looking into that, mixing compost with things that can bring the pH down, maybe finding ways to come up with composts that don't have the high pH. But also some tools that are coming into use. One in particular is the air knife, which is using high-pressure air from a compressor to kind of blow up your soil. So it takes that soil that's been run over and beat up and sort of blows air into it and makes it soft and fluffy and something resembling a forest soil again.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of times our urban soils nutrition isn't the problem. Fertility is not the problem. Those things are there. It's more of the soil structure and the compaction that we're facing is big problems.
Okay, so trees are in the first half, the second half of the day for the Sustainable Urban Landscape Symposium. What does that focus on?
Okay, now we're bringing, after that, Dan Herms down. He's an extension, OSU extension, a specialist on chemicals, basically, in the landscape. At the zoo, I want to make it clear, we don't use any pesticides, except for when now we're trying to preserve a few ash trees with imidacloprid. So our approach is that it's probably best not to use pesticides at all, but it's nice to have maybe a few in your toolbox for things like emerald ash borer or whatever oddball or horrible thing coming down the pike that we may or may not know of. So he's talking about the sustainable approach of, you know, you have a problem. Is it worth treating at all? You know, is it worth taking that plant out and putting it in or replacing it with something that doesn't require any pesticides at all? Or if you need pesticides, which ones to use that do the absolute least damage and treat the problem effectively and you can move on.
Wow.
So that'll be a very interesting program, I believe. Steve Foltz and Ron Wilson are next with a program on just how to, it's more of that same thing, how to deal with these issues that come along and what are the common sense approaches to fixing them.
And then you're wrapping up with the bigger picture, Steve Foltz is going to do urban landscapes as their own ecosystem.
Right.
And then where I think of urban landscapes and sustainable urban landscapes, community gardens is what's wrapping up.
Yeah, that's I think so many people are excited with that. Peter Huttinger is just a great force in the city of Cincinnati. He works at the Civic Garden Center. He's the genius behind pretty much all of the community gardens that you see around. He knows exactly what you need to make them work. You know, the techniques and the processes, getting the community involved, the whole nine yards of making a community garden successful. And they're not easy to make successful, and he makes it look easy. So we're really excited to have him come down and talk about that. And also Tracy Williams from Louisville. She's gotten a lot of attention recently with doing her green walls and green roofs. We've got her signed in now, and she does it innovatively, using a lot of our own materials and techniques, and making something beautiful and effective look very easy, and something that I think many people can do once they learn the techniques.
Scott Buerlein, a horticulturalist from the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden, talking about the Sustainable Urban Landscapes Symposium. It's coming up on Wednesday, February 27th at the zoo. Registration, though, ends on February 24th. You can find a link to a site that will take you to the zoo and find out more about both the event and to register at our website, wvxu.org. Well, thanks again, as always, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thank you.